and welcome to episode 22 of the Bouncing Back podcast with me, James Middleton. And today's podcast, that's right, is about bad sex and pornography. Now, I'm not going to lie, I did not think that when starting this podcast, I would be talking about these kinds of things. But that being said, I don't think they're spoken about enough. And that is exactly why I'm doing an episode on these two topics, and in particular, honing in on pornography. And today's episode is actually one that came about from a number of different conversations I've had in the past few weeks. And it really spiked my interest in both topics when I was talking about them with the various different people that I was speaking with. What I'm going to be discussing today is pornography, why I believe it to be detrimental to our brains, our moods, and for men in particular, our testosterone levels, how it impacts our sex life, and on that, discussing what good sex is and what good sex isn't. So yes, I've stepped into the world of sex, really, for this episode, but only because, right, only because, like I said, I just don't think people talk about sex enough and don't talk about things like porn enough. And yet, given the conversations that I have had with people, everyone has sex, unless you're a virgin, and a lot of people watch porn. And particularly from a male's perspective, and I know there are a lot of males and females out there who could benefit from listening to this and understanding a bit more about porn and the implications it can have on your life. And that's that it can massively impact your sex life, and it can encourage basically bad sex. So I think this is going to be a super interesting episode, and I don't think there's enough people out there talking about this kind of thing, particularly from a male standpoint. I know, and I've actually listened to a couple of podcasts from females who have spoken about this, and females tend to just talk, I think, a bit more about sex, at least in a bit more detail. I think when men talk about sex, it's very like, yeah, mate, like, took her home, shagged her, yeah, was really good, yeah, like, you know, lasted more than 5 minutes, so I was happy. that was me about 5 years ago. Now, I spoke to a few of my friends about doing this podcast because I like to always run through ideas with people and bounce ideas back off people. And I mean, first of all, I normally speak to my mum about my podcast episodes and chat to her about them. But for some reason, this one I decided not to run by her for obvious reasons. She's my mother and I'm kind of hoping she doesn't listen to it. Although if she does, I don't mind because it's an important topic for everyone. But mum, if you're listening to this, it's, you know, it's just, it's educational, okay? You can switch it off at any point. So can any of you that are listening. But I ran this by some of my friends, and what it made me realise is that people don't talk about this kind of thing. They don't have conversations, or at least they don't have enough conversations about things like porn and sex, particularly here in the UK. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but sex is such a taboo topic. If you bring it up, you can sometimes see, like if you're in a room with people and you bring it up, you can see around certain people, they get really embarrassed and they kind of close up and go into a little shell and become quite awkward and don't want to talk about it. Whereas I've always been the kind of person that likes talking about sex and is very open with it. Not in the sense that, not like sharing all the details about, you know, my personal sex life. You know, I'm not opening up about my own sexual experiences and my own relationships. But I, you know, and on that basis, I think you need an element of privacy with that. I'm never going to go into full detail about what I get up into the bedroom. But I think sex in general is a topic that's something I'm quite comfortable discussing. And I think what I've come to realise as I've grown older is the more that I talk about sex and things like porn and relationships with my friends and just have very real, general, honest, open conversations about them, the more I learn about some of the common things that we all experience, and the more I learn about things to look out for, from, you know, for things that are good and things that are bad. And it only has improved my own understanding of sex and what it means and the power of it and the importance of having good sex in your life. Obviously, when talking about this, I did have a few friends saying, oh, James, I'm not really sure you should talk about it. It's not really that on brand for you. Like, are you sure you want to go ahead? And look, I get it. I'm a personal trainer by trade, right? But I'm also a life coach, and I actually talk probably on a daily basis with people about their sex life and, you know, masturbation and all these things that play a very important role, or at least should do, in our lives. So I don't know why I've just thrown in that word masturbation. That's just like come out of nowhere, but it's because I will be talking about that later. And if that word's uncomfortable for you, then get comfortable with it, all right? Because I'm going to say it a few times in this episode. I know what you're thinking. You're like, right, I'm going to strap yourself in for this. But I actually feel like this is very much on brand for me, because like I said, with my clients, I find that, you know, it's all well and good talking about their training programs and diet and stuff, and that stuff's all pretty similar for most people. You know, there are kind of like set rules and stuff, whereas my clients open up to me a lot about their marriages, their relationships, their sex life. You know, some people who I life coach have come to me because they're addicted to porn, and I'm talking to them about that. So a lot of this is actually very relevant, and there's actually a lot of people that struggle with all these topics as well that you might not know about, which is again why I think it's so important to have these open, honest conversations with, you know, people you trust, close friends, whatever. Maybe not your mum or your dad, but, you know, keep it in your little close circle of friends. And more people need to hear about it. So here we bloody go. Strap yourselves in, fasten your seatbelts, safety first. Oi, oi, very topical indeed, safety first. Right, let's go. Jumping straight into it. So porn is probably more readily available than it has ever been. And I can only imagine that since COVID, the number of porn subscriptions has rocketed, given the fact that there were hundreds of millions of people sitting at home, bored, with not much to do. Understandable. However, the availability of porn, it's such a detriment to our brains, particularly to the developing brain. So in younger kids, sort of like teenagers. And you think about someone who engages in a lot of porn watching, right? That person is getting dopamine and testosterone increases by observing sex and not actually by engaging in human contact. But dopamine seeking is what triggers the increase in testosterone. And this, I mean, when I talk about testosterone, obviously I'm talking more about it from a male perspective. But with repeated dopamine seeking or triggering the dopamine release, it starts getting diminished and diminished and diminished. So pretty soon that behavior, i.e. porn watching, is not causing the release of testosterone anymore in males. And also for males and females, your dopamine release is every time getting smaller and smaller. Now, when I talk about this, and in particular testosterone, I am talking about it from a male's perspective. However, a lot of this outside of the testosterone inferences also very much applies to women too, because I know a lot of women also watch porn. Now, people are watching porn compulsively to try and get these like little droplets of dopamine out of their brain. And this is what happens with porn. It's like taking a drug for the first time. Let's as an example, heroin. I mean, it's not anything like it, but you know, the concept is the same in terms of what's happening to our brain and our body, just on a far less extreme level, of course. So you take heroin for the first time and it's euphoric. You have that massive high. Obviously, I'm not speaking from experience, but you know, I know from watching documentaries how powerful this drug is. But then every time you take it after your first time, you're chasing that high until you start taking it just to feel normal, because without it, you're now existing in that suboptimal level of sort of pleasure or happiness. You're below that threshold line of it. And so just to feel normal, you need to take it to get back up there, because the come down is so bad. Now, every time you take it, or every time you watch porn, the release of dopamine diminishes, and you need more and more just to even get you to kind of feeling okay. And each time you're watching it, your body is trying to produce dopamine from an artificial catalyst, and you're trying to reach that same high and feeling of pleasure as you did the very first time you watched it. But each time you do watch it, your dopamine levels are not producing the same amount. you can't get the same rush, the same pleasure. So you do it more and more just to kind of make you feel normal or get that momentary dopamine kick and that small pleasure episode. And then what happens after? You feel pretty low again, right? From personal experience, I'd say I've never been addicted to porn, but there was a time in my life, I'd say maybe a year or 2 years ago, where I would watch porn every day, sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And it was because I was looking for something to pick me up, pick my mood up, give me that dopamine kick because I knew it could. And as an example, and this is probably very common for a lot of people, I'd be working at home on my desk, sitting at my laptop and, you know, maybe feeling a little bit stressed, a little bit anxious about all the work I had to do. And so I'd think to myself, oh, like I need to just feel good. Like, what can I do to feel good? I'm not hungry. I'm not going to go get some food, you know, something sweet and stuff for that kind of dopamine kick. I want to do something that makes me feel good. Oh, I'm in the comfort of my own house. No one's around. I'm going to get up some porn and watch it. And this is going to help me feel better. And for that moment, in that instance, I felt great. Nothing else mattered. But once it was over, you know, suddenly I felt dirty. I felt so dirty and almost like a little bit ashamed. You know, I come back to my desk, carry on with my work, and I was probably in a worse place than I was before. I'd just done that. Because now I'm thinking, great, well, the dopamine's gone. It's finished. I've just wasted 20, 30 minutes of my day and I'm not any further ahead with any of my work. And that is simply down to the fact I just had this artificial release of dopamine in my body. Because it's artificial, it doesn't last long, it's not natural. And then once it's gone, I'm now crashing back down to reality. What then goes through my head? Oh, I'll give it a bit of time. I'll watch another episode. I'll watch some more porn a little bit later. And it was this cycle that continued. And then 2 hours later, I'd think to myself, right, I need another dopamine kick. Let's go. Get the laptop up. Let's go watch some porn. Now, a natural thing, and you can see why people get addicted. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that says that it's not actually, you know, porn's not actually addictive. But I know a lot of people, and I've, you know, read stories. I think Terry Crews was on A Diary of a CEO the other day, and he said he watched porn for 9 hours a day. I mean, that's an addiction. But a natural thing, right? Okay, let's say porn's removed from the picture. A natural thing, if you're feeling a little bit stressed or whatever, would be to go outside and get some fresh air, or, you know, not in London because the sun never shines here, but if you're in a sunny country, just step outside and get some sun on your face, or even something simple like enjoy a nice cold drink or a cup of coffee. You know, natural releases of dopamine in the body. But instead, I'm there going to watch porn again. And this is the slippery slope, the dangerous cycle that people get into with watching it. It's so easily and readily available. And particularly now with so many people working from home, being in the comfort of their own house, it's very easy to do. I mean, it's a bit different, isn't it, when you're in the workplace. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit harder. If you've got 50 people around you, you're not going to start just knocking one out at your desk. But I still know men and I still know women that go off to the toilet to watch porn at work. And like, that's how bad it is for people. Imagine you're in an office with 50, 100 people, or you're in the middle of a company meeting and all you're thinking about is wanting to go and have a bash in the toilet to feel good about yourself, and you need porn. You need to take your phone with you to get that fix. Like, that's when it's, I think, a serious problem. And that's when you know that you have an issue. You also know it's an issue when you're doing that at home as well and you're having to watch porn to make you feel good. What this does as well is it means that when it does come to doing things that naturally release dopamine in the body, so like I mentioned earlier, being in the sun, walking around outside in the fresh air, even going to the gym and training, for example, you don't get the same kick because you're so used to the enormous amounts of dopamine released in the body from watching porn. When you watch porn, your body goes into overdrive with the dopamine. It goes into overdrive. And so when you start doing these normal things, it's nothing like the levels that you receive. So then normal things that should give you dopamine and should make you happy don't anymore. And that's why people get very, I would say depressed is probably too strong a word, but getting very low moods. People who watch a lot of porn are actually in quite a low mood a lot of the time because these normal things aren't giving them the happiness that they should be. So the levels that are released when you're watching it are so high that these natural things don't even come close to it. And that's why it can have a big effect on your mood when you're not watching it, because all of a sudden, normal things that usually give us pleasure and make us happy are so minute compared to the pleasure we're receiving from watching porn. And yet the irony is, with porn, although it gives us this rush, it's entirely unnatural and it's so short-lived, which I guess is the reason why people keep wanting to watch it and chase that feeling again and again and again, especially when they may be feeling a bit low or a bit stressed or, you know, whatever it may be. Now, with porn, okay, it's a very slippery slope. There's also a whole aspect of it, which is that if people are pursuing porn, then they're not actually pursuing relationships. And there is the potential that they reach their 20s and 30s and they're truly dysfunctional. And I'll come on to the reasons why in a moment. But firstly, I want to address the fundamental goals, right, of a human and as a species amongst the whole species kingdom. So every species has two major goals, right? Protect the young and make more of itself. Now, whether or not you decide to have children or not is a personal issue. I don't have children at the moment, but it's something that I very much want to have one day. You know, keep the Middleton name going and all that. No, that's not, James, that's not the reason. I mean, that sounds incredibly selfish just to keep the Middleton name going. I want kids because they're great and there's a whole number of reasons, of course. But every species protects its young. The maternal aggression is actually amazing, right? The mother protecting its young, there's nothing like it in the animal kingdom. And actually, that's not triggered by testosterone, that's triggered by estrogen, which is interesting in itself. But the parents of every species try to protect the young and then they try and make more young. Every species is driven to do that. And you think about porn and masturbation and what these things really are. I'm not here calling them sinful, but what I am saying is they are potentially addictive, especially with the availability of porn, like I've mentioned. So just beware, you know, everyone's different and people have to be careful about these circuitries that can definitely wrap you up and catch you quite quickly if you're not conscious of what you're doing. You know, you really need to protect them and they're super valuable. And so on that basis, I would say in order to support testosterone, in order to protect your dopamine levels, preserve your mood and still, you know, get some kind of high from natural things at natural levels, this is why I would say I would generally really consider avoiding pornography, quite frankly. And I do. I haven't watched porn for probably like over 6 months now. I mean, it's not a massive amount of time, but it's a long time. And the benefits of it, I can't, like, it's astounding. I didn't really think it would do much for me, but I honestly feel like a different man, which again, it's why I'm doing this podcast and talking about it. You know, I'm not here to kind of say you shouldn't do it and I haven't done it and I feel great, so therefore you should do it. I'm just, as always, giving you a kind of insight into it. But I think on that, I also work with clients every day who have porn addictions and have come to me to get help with this. And even with them, some of them haven't watched it for a few weeks and already they're coming back to me, explaining to me all the benefits they're feeling. Now, remember, I'm not here to say that it's sinful or that you should never do it, or if you do or you're doing it at the moment or you do watch porn at the moment or whatever, you're a bad person or you should feel guilty. No, not at all. People can do what they like. I'm just giving you something to think about based on what I know from personal experience, but also from, you know, my experience talking and coaching others on the topic. Now, this brings me on to my earlier point, okay, which I quickly darted off, but I'm going to come back in on the fact that pursuing pornography, particularly at a young age, can be incredibly dysfunctional for your moods, your general happiness, and also relationships that you end up pursuing. When it comes to relationships and porn, I found personally that when I was watching porn and I was in a relationship, it made my sex life worse. 100%. Looking back now, it made it worse. Again, I was with a partner. If I was with a partner, sorry, and they watch porn, I'd be okay with that. If it wasn't taking over their life and it gave them pleasure and it didn't detract away from our own sex life or affect their mood, you know, things like that, the things that we've been speaking about, I'd be completely okay with it. I'd only ever probably voice concern if those things were being sacrificed for it. But anyway, sex for me didn't feel as good as it should do. Or at least I was kind of like becoming a bit numb to it. And here's why. And this can translate for both men and women. Like I said earlier, porn from a dopamine perspective has the same effect on men and women. Obviously, from a testosterone viewpoint, this is more related to men. And actually, I also want to add before I continue with this, partaking, because I know I've mentioned it already, but partaking in self-love, masturbation, isn't wrong. If it adds value to your life, then knock one out. I actually think it's healthy and I'm all for that side of things. However, it's just the porn watching to do it, which I don't think is healthy in a number of ways, some of which I've touched upon already, others I'm about to delve into now. And I think being completely present when masturbating and actually understanding what's happening to your body and really thinking about, you know, the process and what you're doing and the stages of arousal are so important to experiencing all of and the true pleasure that one can get from it. And then using your imagination to become aroused and naturally releasing dopamine and testosterone and, you know, the other chemicals, that's healthy. It's so much healthier. So, you know, throw in some toys if you want to make it better. I'm all for toys, whatever you're into. I mean, if I was a woman, I would definitely own a toy. Vibrators, you name it. I can only see the benefits. And yeah, you know, don't be afraid. I think the sex toy industry has absolutely boomed since COVID, and you can see why now. And I'm really sounding like a sex therapist, aren't I, right now? I'm gonna get messages. I know what's gonna happen after this podcast. I'm gonna get messages and DMs with people telling me all about their sex life, and I'm gonna be like, right, come on then, let's get you checked into James's sex clinic, shall we? It's open Monday to Thursday, 9 till 10 p.m. The frisky hour, I like to call it. I don't like to call it that. I've never called it that. I don't know why I just said it was the frisky hour. 9 till 10, I'm usually reading a book. Anyway, where were we? Right, let's get back into it, James. Right, okay, yes, masturbating. And by the way, when I say that, masturbating, if that word makes you feel uncomfortable, it shouldn't, all right? It's funny, like I've said, in the UK, it's such a taboo subject. Like, people hate talking about it, or they just don't like being open and honest. It's so strange. I don't understand. Yet, sex and masturbation are two things pretty much, you know, every single person does on the planet in some kind of form or have tried it. So that's another point I'm going to address, actually, in a second. Right, James, okay, stop digressing. Let's get back on track. What was I saying? So, oh yeah, I'm also speaking from a personal experience, but I have had this conversation with a number of friends, okay, both male and female, and the majority agree that porn does more harm than good, just as a kind of like general basis. And the people that I've spoken to have said that it actually has affected the sex in their relationships if they've been watching too much. And that's exactly how I feel, because the reason being, right, is that we're back on track now. So we're talking about sex and how porn can affect your sex life. Now, sex is a very intimate thing. It's all about connection. Your connection with the other person, the touching, the kissing, the being at one with someone else's body, and that overall feeling of just being close to someone. Porn, on the other hand, well, the large majority of it, isn't about this. A lot of porn is about the man banging the woman as hard and as fast and for as long as he can. And if you're watching, well, that's if you're watching man and woman porn. It's all about the performance, right? Like crazy positions, the aggression, which there is a time and a place for, right? When done right, aggression, but it's a performance. And then you've got like the ejaculation at the end where it all kind of builds up to that. Now, there are some people who say that porn has helped their sex life. I can also see that side of the argument. Sometimes, I guess, the way I see it is, yeah, it could open up new doors for people and give people ideas, that kind of thing. But even then, right, I know guys, and I've done this before, who have taken stuff they've seen on the internet and then just automatically applied it to their own sex life when they're having sex with other people. You know, suddenly, Jackie boy over here, who has watched a lot of porn, is now a porn star. And so when he has sex with women, he hasn't even asked the woman he's sleeping with if she's into this kind of thing, or if she likes it, or if it feels good for her. No, of course not. He's just watched a load of pornos, sees the girl on there feeling good. Most of the time they're faking it or acting anyway. And then with what the guy she's with is doing in that porno, he goes off and does the same thing with all the women he sleeps with. And funny enough, 9 times out of 10, these women didn't enjoy it because Jack was only thinking about replicating what he'd seen and delivering the performance of his lifetime and making sure that, you know, at the very end, he was satisfied, you know, he orgasmed and that was great. And he didn't really care about the connection. He didn't think about that side of things. What the woman wanted, what she was thinking, if she was enjoying it, making her feel good. No, it was about him and his performance for his ego and sense of masculinity. And I've been Jack. I've been in that position. But I do get why. I do get why. Because this is what happens. You kind of get like a little bit brainwashed with it. And it's what porn can do to guys. And it's how it makes guys think about sex. Like just being a performance. And I'm sure women too, sometimes, you know. Like I said, I'm speaking from a male perspective because this is what I know, but I'm sure it can be the same with women, you know. Lads, it's not about a freaking performance. And ladies, all right? Sex is about connection, a deep connection, and being fully present in the moment with that person. Understanding the person you're having it with, exploring their body, asking what they like, getting feedback, and then changing what you're doing depending on what they say or how they're reacting. Like being open with each other, honest, transparent. That is how you have good sex. That is how you improve sex. It's how you can improve your sex life, by communicating with each other and asking or telling one another what you like, what makes you go crazy. Oh, James is talking about sex. It's making me feel uncomfortable. Look, if it is, you can always stop the podcast. I mean, you're probably British if it's making you feel uncomfortable, but it shouldn't, you know, like this is stuff that we can all relate to. And, you know, particularly if you're in relationships and stuff, it's highly important. And like I said at the beginning, people need to talk more openly about sex. At least I think, you know, don't go around like every dinner party you have. Right, so who here has good sex? What do you do? What do you like? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's good to sometimes talk about it when appropriate and you know, when I guess it's natural. On that note, I know so many couples who hardly have sex. Or when they do, it's like ticking a box. You know, it's just average. Like the flame's gone out. But why? There could be a whole number of different reasons. But I know one thing that usually comes up time and time again is because couples stop communicating with each other about it. Again, I speak to my clients about it. Oh, James, I'm not hardly having any sex with my wife, or I'm hardly having sex with my husband. Like, I don't know what to do. And once I ask them a load of questions and explore why, like, they're not talking to each other about it. They're just kind of ignoring it and going to sleep, and no one's really putting in any effort to change it. Or, you know, they settle and just accept sex to just be a part of the relationship every now and again, and sort of something that they have to do rather than being a fundamental contributor to their relationship and something that can actually be so powerful towards making their relationship even stronger. If your sex life has died, talk about it. Open up to each other. Tell each other what's missing, like what you want to do, what you like, what you'd like them to do, what you'd like to do to them. Find a ground that works for both of you. You know, I've had relationships before where they weren't... I've been in relationships where the other person, they haven't really opened up, or they haven't really been open to trying anything new. Not even if it meant, like, you know, I take a lot of pleasure from it. And that really killed the flame for me, because, you know, sometimes in relationships you might want to do something that your partner doesn't, but then, you know, there's also an element, like, if it makes you feel good, then your partner maybe should be open to at least trying it. You know, I'm not saying right, come on, I want to go do anal, so let's go. Oh, I didn't think I'd ever be saying that on a podcast, but there you go. Life is full of surprises, isn't it? Both parties have to agree, all right? That's rule number one. It's got to be consensual to start with. I don't want to get in trouble for just saying, you know, just go and do what you want to do with your partner and whether they like it or not. And there will be some things, right? There will be some things that just aren't an option, but there are so many things you can do to improve sex. And I think a big one is being open-minded. And by that, I mean listening to your partner and trying to work together to do things that you both can enjoy. But it all starts with a conversation. It all starts with approaching it the right way as two people together. Not, right, I want to do this and that and this, so when can we start? You know, that's not how it should go, and it's not going to work. It's got to be more like, look, there's something I really want to try with you, and I've been thinking about it, and I think it could be really great for both of us. Would you be open to exploring it? Plant the seed, no pun intended. This openness and honesty isn't just about improving your sex life and making sex better, but for any relationship to grow and hit new levels, openness and honesty is the number one thing you need to have together, okay? And then it's communicating it effectively. And that's both, you know, with your sex life and also just in general. Right, so that's the relationship part of it, and why I think, you know, porn can affect it, but also things that you can do to improve it. Now, I want to go on to another reason why I think porn is detrimental to relationships, and it's because of the expectation you get from watching porn versus the reality of what you get with your partner, or anyone for that matter you're having sex with. You know, you might see all this crazy stuff going on when you're watching porn, and because it's then not reciprocated in your relationship or when you're having sex with someone else, you're immediately dissatisfied, or your mind is elsewhere, or you're thinking about, you know, what they were doing in the porno and why this can't happen in your own life, in real life. And then you become dependent on thinking about porn whilst you're having sex in real life, if the current person you're with isn't kind of doing what you want them to do. And that's toxic. Like, how toxic is that? It's unhealthy. And this is not something that you should be thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking about porn whilst you're having sex with the person. Like I said, you have to be present. And again, I know this because it's happened to me. Like, I've experienced this. I'm speaking from, you know, past episodes that have happened. And also, I know that many other men and women have also thought about this whilst they're having sex. They've thought about the porno they watched 3 hours ago because that's what's giving them the massive dopamine rush, remember? And it's artificial. And because they're not getting the same kind of dopamine kick from actual sex, like real life sex, they're having to cast their mind away to the porno they just watched to get that pleasure, to get that rush, to enable them to orgasm. And that is so messed up. That is so bad for your brain and just for everything. And remember what I said, like, sex is about being there in the moment, connecting with that person there and then, and being present and feeling everything that's going on, using all your senses. You shouldn't be thinking about anything else. And if you are, it means that you need to have a good look at the sex you're having and figure out why you're not being present. Again, sometimes people have to think about this kind of thing or think about other scenes in their mind, you know, in order to make it good. Because they're so used to relying on something external to make them orgasm, that when it actually comes down to the real life stuff, they can't do it because the real life stuff isn't giving them enough dopamine. It's not driving up their testosterone enough. And that's where things like, for men, erectile dysfunction happen, you know, where men struggle to become aroused because they're not receiving the same dopamine from this person in real life than they do from porn. And that's actually quite a big problem for a lot of men. I don't know the stats. I remember reading it before I did this, but yeah, it's pretty bad. But again, you know, these people have allowed themselves to get caught in this trap of feeling aroused and orgasming from such an intense external dopamine receiver that anything else in comparison isn't powerful enough to make them feel that way. And that is the whole cycle. That is the dangerous cycle that is very easy to fall into when it comes to watching porn and ruining your sex life. I also want to add, and I've said this in a previous podcast that I did on sex, that sex isn't, and actually, you know what? A lot of people message me and disagree with me on this, and it was fascinating because I had some interesting conversations, but sex isn't just about the orgasm. Like, of course, having an orgasm isn't amazing. And if you can have one yourself or make the other person have one, that is fantastic. Perhaps you can have multiple. Perhaps you make the other person have multiple orgasms. Great, good for you, awesome, woohoo. And if you can do that, well done, you know, well done you. It's good times are rolling. However, having an orgasm and making the other person orgasm, it's not the be all and end all, people. It's not. We're all different. We all have different bodies. Some people find it incredibly easy to orgasm and some people don't and need more stimulation and, you know, more time. And sometimes it's about the person you're with and the connection you have with that person, which can drive the chance of an orgasm much higher. Not necessarily, you know, all these like tactics and finger positions and how you do this and how you do that. But again, like watching porn isn't going to help you achieve one when it comes to real life sex. Or at least if you do, it's not going to feel as good. And I generally like believe that. So two parts, I believe that sometimes, you know, you don't just have to, like, the be all and end all of sex isn't just about coming. It's about pleasure in all different other ways, you know, touching, hearing, like feeling, like all these kinds of things, like all the senses that we have can also give off a huge amount of pleasure, and you can still have great sex without there being an orgasm at the end. But then secondly, when I stopped watching porn, sex began to feel 10 times better. 10 times better. And that is why I won't ever watch it again. Why would I want to watch, or why would I want to sacrifice good sex for a 5-minute artificial short-lived dopamine rush? And I think once you understand and learn that sex isn't about, you know, just going as hard and as fast as you can for as long as you can until one of your orgasms, you'll step into this whole new world of it and the different kind of pleasures you can have from it. Woo! Right, I need a little sip of water. This is a lot of sex talk. I hope you're still with me. There is a lot of sex talk today, but I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it, and I hope you are too. Side note, I've just been thinking, actually, not many blokes come online and openly talk about sex, do they? I mean, at least I haven't really come across any, particularly personal trainers. Funny that. Maybe I'm out of my lane. It's usually women who are discussing sex and porn and sex toys, etc. But like I said, I think it's important. I think it's important that it's heard from a man's perspective as well. We want to be heard too. No, but seriously, I know men don't really talk about it. I mean, men don't really talk about anything, do they? Not with their mates, their partners. But I mean, that's a slight exaggeration and a slight generalization. Maybe they do, but you know what we're like. We don't really like talking about much, but I think it's super healthy. And for those of you who know my best mate Angus, we've only known each other for, I think, about 3 years. And everyone's always like, oh my God, I thought you guys had been mates for like 10 years or, you know, since you were younger. No, only 3 years. But the reason why our relationship has grown so fast and so strong in those 3 years is because we're both very emotional guys, right? And on that basis, like, we're not afraid of opening up to each other and having brutally honest conversations with each other. You know, we speak about sex all the time. And actually, I've had this whole conversation with him before. And it's funny because as soon as you open up to people, people you trust, may I add, not just random strangers on the internet or the street, and start giving your honest opinion about things, whether that's based, you know, off of experiences you've had or whatever, you encourage the other person to step into that space with you and be open with you. And that's when, with the openness and trust, that you can then talk about so many things, and often many of them you have in common but didn't realize. And I think that's what brings, you know, you closer together with someone. And that's certainly what has brought me and Angus closer together as mates, because we step into this space together where we are so transparent. And it's kind of like we're not vulnerable. Well, I guess we are. We're quite vulnerable with each other. We don't shy away from showing each other, you know, our emotions and how we feel about stuff. And I was saying actually to Angus the other day, as we were discussing porn and sex, I think in between sets in the gym, as you do, people must just be listening to our conversations in the gym being like, what are these two talking about? But I made the point that watching porn from a guy's perspective, it also makes you look at women differently. It does. Again, I've experienced this. I was looking at women as objects, and I'm not afraid to admit that. It was terrible. It was terrible. And I knew it wasn't right either. I would meet women on nights out, and all I wanted to do was just take them home and sleep with them. That was it. That's all I was thinking about. I didn't care about forming a connection or having fun or getting to know them. I just wanted to sleep with them. And I would just see them as something to take home and have a quick shag and, you know, go back and give my best performance. And come to think of it, it's really sad. Like, it's really sad. And again, I know, but I can also see a lot of guys do this too, and do this for their whole life, and they don't even realize it. As soon as I stopped watching porn, I started to find a whole new level of respect for women that I never had before. Instead of seeing women as objects, I now, and when I say that, I don't mean like all the time, I just mean like when I was going out and kind of like looking for it for that purpose. But yeah, instead of seeing women as objects, I now see women as like incredible individuals. I have so much respect for women, and I think women should be treated by men like royalty, because they are the birth givers to new life. They are the nurturers of our future. You know, they bring families together, raise children, work jobs, keep men grounded. I mean, I could go on and on. Women are amazing, and I really do think that porn can be degrading to them, because in a lot of porn, women are seen as objects. Men can be seen too as objects, of course, but mainly women, particularly in man-woman sex. I think there's a word for that. I'm just saying man-woman sex sounds very, doesn't sound right, heterosexual sex. But mainly women, let's be honest. So again, like another very powerful reason, and in this particular instance, a powerful reason for men to consider reducing or altogether stopping watching porn. Right, there you have it. I think that's everything I wanted to cover. Actually, I wanted to end this episode on a positive. And I think that noting that women are amazing is a good positive to finish on. But just to recap, because I know I did jump around a little bit, getting a bit excited with all the sex talk. And I'm aware that I've also given a fairly one-sided view to pornography and its detriments. Perhaps in the future, you know what? I think maybe in the future, because I am planning on getting guests on my podcast in the next series, hopefully after summer, I might get someone in the industry to come on, or someone who thinks the complete opposite to me, because I think that could spark some really interesting conversation around the whole topic. But in summary, kind of based on personal experience, but also looking into the scientific explanations to do with the negative impact porn has on dopamine levels and testosterone, in addition to the impacts it can have on your relationships and sex life, I would genuinely consider, if you don't already, at least trying to reduce the amount of porn you watch, if you do. There's actually a movement out there at the moment called NoFap, spelt N-O-F-A-P. And the reason why it's FAP is because, you know, when you masturbate, it's like FAP, 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 FAP. That is generally why it's called NoFap. But that's actually, you know, that's actually all around not masturbating. Now, as I've said, and also no porn, but as I've said, I actually think masturbating is healthy when done naturally. But it's worth having a look at, as they've done lots of research around this whole topic, and there's lots of kind of different viewpoints on it. And again, I think it's fascinating. And who knows? this all might have had an amazing effect on you and maybe pulled the cotton wool, you know, out from your eyes and opened you to kind of looking at it differently. But equally, it might not have done much. But I hope at least what I've spoken about today has given you some food for thought, as always. And like I've said many times, I think having these conversations just with your mates and talking about sex and porn and stuff with people, it's just a really good way of exploring, you know, what other people think and helping you come to manage your own feelings around it. But as always, thank you so much for listening. Love you lots. Please look after yourselves, and I will see you at the next episode. Goodbye.